Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So you all are familiar with the feeling of being used. It can be a terrible feeling because you feel taken advantage of by someone or some institution without any care of who you are as a person. No one likes the feeling of being used. Yet, the interesting thing that perhaps maybe you haven't thought about is that, well, you are always being used. Always. There are certain times when people are malicious and mean and use you for their agenda. But everyone does have, to a certain extent, need to use you. People use you because, well, mainly they need something from you, at least for a time that you are of use to them. Just think about in the places in your life, it's pretty clear that you are being used all the time. I mean, it's clear that your state, your nation uses you, and sometimes we are pretty well aware of it. But they need you because they need your support, they need your vote, they need you to cooperate to get things accomplished. But while we could complain about certain things and being used, it's not all bad because, well, you also use them. You need them for a certain level of protection, a certain level of governance, bringing order to our lives outside of just our homes. So you use them too for your own benefit and your own agenda. The truth is, we are always being used. At your job, they use you too. People might like you there, but they're using you because you have something to offer, a skill they need, and you are someone who can do it. Sure, they might use you without any care of who you are, and sometimes you're pretty aware of it and wonder what they might do without you. But you also use them because you need them too. They give you money, a sense of security, a way for you to provide for your other responsibilities in life. So, it's not all bad, but you are being used. Even your church uses you. Yes, even the church, you are being used. You have things that the church needs, not only as it relates to the offering plate, but the church uses you to do other things. Care for the mission of Jesus Christ and the governing of the local congregation. You are being used by the church to share Jesus with others. Yes, the church uses you. Sometimes it may feel like the church uses you too much. And at times it may hurt worse when you feel betrayed and used to serve a cause that seems contradictory to everything you learned. But even still, you use the church because you also need the church. Your community is here. People you can rely on to care for you are here. But more importantly, God gifts you his promises. And here you need someone to deliver the goods and a place to receive them. So yes, it's not all bad. But you are being used. Even in your families. Yes, big surprise, your family uses you too. Sometimes it's not a burden, though. You don't even notice it because love is more focused and shared, but perhaps you don't feel that love. And it happens when you realize you're just being used by them just because of what you have. You either have the knowledge and skills to do the task that a family member doesn't want to do. You have the money to help your kids to pay off their debts or purchase things that you may seem to think is a waste of money. Yes, you're being used by even your family. Even when things are going well, though, you don't mind, for the most part, because you love them. But you also use them. You also need them. You use them because, well, they give you a sense of security and place in the world. You use your family because they also have things that you need, and they affirm who you are. You know that you are loved. You use your kids because they have something that you don't. And a lot of times it's because of the new technology. So you also use your family. So it's not all bad. But make no mistake, you are always being used. Everyone and everything is using you. And you use everyone else. You are always being used. And this transaction, it continues, of course, because we don't like to admit the truth, but it's because we're all contingent. We're all dependent on someone else. We can't get by without having help or need of what other people have. We're all dependent on our families, our communities, and we wouldn't be able to do the things we want to do without the shared benefit of using one another. You get what you wanted, and they get what they wanted. Though to the people closest to us, it's not so simple as a transaction. Because often we are using one another, we recognize that behind what we need is a person who loves us and a person we love. But it's when the acknowledgement of that person fades away that we start to realize that we're just being used. There are certainly terrible times, terrible instances when you are treated like an object, a pawn in someone else's game, a cog in the machine, taken advantage of by someone. And in those moments, the feeling of being used hurts the most. Because to be used in that fashion makes you aware that the person, or perhaps the institution, doesn't really think you matter. Perhaps worse, when it comes from someone important, someone you trusted, someone you loved, from someone or something you hung on to tell you the truth, it's not just something you can easily let go, because they were something and someone important to you. And if they think you don't matter, you might wonder if you even matter at all. What if all you are is someone who is being used? Well, if there's one thing we can tell, you all are being used. And maybe that's not all that bad until you find you are no longer needed and you no longer matter. And then what are you going to do? In Acts chapter 16, we see that Paul has some use for our friend Timothy. Yes, even Paul, the apostle, is using people for his purposes, for his agenda. And he sees in Timothy something good, something special. Timothy is well spoken of in his community with his peers and his friends. So Paul decided he was going to, well, put Timothy to some good use. Timothy becomes Paul's trusted companion to deliver the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God, to show and reveal to others that God has brought a renewal in his creation. And so Timothy was being used for that mission. And Paul, he took advantage of Timothy's usefulness. Because Timothy's father, a Gentile, meant that Timothy was not quite incorporated into the Jewish community in the same way. If Timothy was going to be used to speak to the Jewish people, he had to be a part of that nation, a part of that group. So Paul, the practical man he is, becoming everything and anything for everyone so he could continue his work, has his new buddy Timothy circumcised. Why? Well, Paul saw that Timothy was useful and he could use him. He was the man for the job and he wanted Timothy to be successful in helping Paul spread God's word through the Mediterranean and particularly to the Jewish people who were dispersed in the region. In this way, yes, Timothy was used, but the church was strengthened in the faith and they increased daily. Today we do set aside time to remember Timothy. And there's nothing wrong with remembering someone who's important to the beginning of the church, because he did receive two letters from Paul and he was pretty important in the spread of Paul's mission. But the reason we remember him is not because he's so great, though he is. He was a great guy. No, we remember him because he is useful for us. For you see, we don't actually know a whole lot about Timothy, other than what we see in Acts and what we read in the letters. But Timothy, he heard the call from God through Paul and saw that he could be used. And so he did a lot to continue the growth of God's word in that time, to serve in love and to make the kingdom real before the people he came to. The story from Mark, very similar. Jesus calls his first disciples, who were fishermen, because he was going to make them into, his clever line, fishers of men. But he had a use for them. You see, he wasn't just picking up these fishermen because he was bored and he just happened to notice them. It was actually pretty helpful to have them because, as you know, he began his ministry in Galilee with a big, huge lake right there, and he had to get across to these various situations. So having some fishermen who knew the waters, yeah, that would be really helpful to have. So even Jesus uses these new disciples to help him deliver the message of the gospel, to bring the kingdom of God to the people. And the strange thing, though, I find with Mark is that these first disciples, when Jesus calls them to use them, he didn't do anything else than just call. And the disciples, for some reason, just dropped what they were doing to go with him. There was no reason for them to follow him. It's kind of bizarre. And I don't know if we would react the same way, because if some random Jewish guy came up to you and told you to follow him and he would make you some sort of fisherman, I think we'd all politely decline and then just make sure to keep an eye on him. But no, Jesus, he just calls and these disciples follow. He didn't try to persuade them. He doesn't slam down arguments or guilt trips them. No, Jesus is far humbler in his approach. And perhaps because he's Lord of creation, he doesn't need to convince anyone. All he does is he calls and puts people to use. He calls by name, invites people to take a part of his renewing work, to be put to some good use. Because the funny thing is for us is we need to feel used. We need to feel useful. Because we're dependent people. We are people who are dependent on others for just about everything. But when we lose those people and institutions we used to depend on, either by betrayal, by some tragedy or death, it strikes us to the core of who we are. Because the relationships are now defined differently. And we might wonder, of what use am I now? Do I even matter? Because if you're just being used and then tossed aside, then you start to wonder, what does it all mean? Because the ironic thing, too, is that you don't mind actually being used. It gives you some purpose and meaning to be able to impact and influence those around us. We do depend on others, and it's nice to be depended on by others. But when that relationship is abused, it's severed, and others merely see you as objects for their agenda, then it's not hard to think if who you are really matters. This last week on Thursday, we remembered that it's been a year, right, since the first case of COVID hit our area. And we've been dealing with those implications ever since. And so over the course of the year, perhaps the people and things we took for granted began to become questions and frustrations that we needed to address. And one of those realities was the question of, well, who is essential? People began to be separated between essential and non-essential. The useful and the non-useful. I mean, there was a purpose for it, obviously, trying to distinguish who and what needs to remain to get through a pandemic together, as we're told. Though they probably could have used a better language, I think. Because when someone tells you that your livelihood is non-essential, or that your input is no longer needed, or that you're no longer of any use, it's easy for us to question and wonder, whether who we are even matters. And we've been asking that question all year. Do I matter? What really does matter? Government and the state? Work and making a living? Church and gathering around God's word? Family and the people we love? What really matters, and where do I even fit in on all of it? Because if I'm not useful or essential, or if I can't be used even for some sort of moral support, then no one really needs me. I'm just a burden and a nuisance. And you, as good Christians looking to God, maybe we think, well, at least here I can be of good use. At least God could use me. I mean, the Savior, he needed the disciples to get around Galilee, right? Well, unfortunately, the Son of God, he doesn't need anyone. He doesn't need your gifts because, well, he's the one that gave them to you. He doesn't need your heart because he knows it's already a little messed up. No, the Son of God, who took part in creating everything, he has no need for you and what you offer. Because, well, he is the Lord of the creation. Even when he called his disciples, he didn't actually need them because, as you might remember, he can just walk on water. The strange thing, though, is he just called and invited them along anyway. And he used them. The thing is while the Savior doesn't need you, he still created you. He formed you. But here's the difference. Jesus Christ thinks you matter. He thinks you matter a lot. So much so that despite the troubles and frustrations in a broken world, he comes into your life to grab a hold of you, to call you his own, and to invite you along. Not because you can give him so much, not at all, but because he only can give to you the things that do matter. While he doesn't have any use of you for himself, your neighbor certainly does. You see, even though Jesus calls you and has no use for you, he still uses you. And he uses you to bring about God's truth and his creation. Because you don't actually mind being used. Sure, if someone is a jerk about it, makes you feel worthless, or if that phone call from the kids and your parents comes at the wrong time and you feel used. But even then, the people you care for, the people who you love, the communities and families you commit to, who use you, you don't actually mind. Because there's bonds of love, friendship, and the family continues to give you drive, purpose, and meaning. Now that's not all so bad. With God, it's true he needs nothing you offer. He has no use for what you possess because he was the one who gave it to you in your life. He gives you life and gifted you with all your skills and all your relationships. But he does care. And he does love you. And you depend on him for everything, because he's made it and blessed it in your life. He's the one who sustains it. He sustains it all because, well, it's all part of his kingdom. And in his Son, Jesus Christ, he brings the good news that the reign and rule of God is here, and it includes you to be a part of it, because you're his. Just because God sustains and holds everything together, that doesn't mean he doesn't have a use for you. He certainly uses you to take care of those vocations, those callings in life, the people in the communities you're in. And there he uses you to bring about the reality of his kingdom on earth. He is the one who rules and reigns, and he comes to recreate and restore his creation, to save and to make you useful. For if we read in Mark, Jesus Christ began his ministry by announcing the good news. God's kingdom, his reign and rule over the creation has come. And the message arrives with Jesus. And with the arrival of this message, then all the things that truly matter come into focus. For God's creation is in His control, and He decides what's important. You are important. You belong to Him. You are essential. Your families are essential. Your loved ones are essential because they are claimed and brought into this reality. Even places like your church, your work, even your government, they matter and are essential because you and I, we all need them. And that's why God put them in place. Sure, the world, our relationships, and even ourselves might cause us to question whether we matter and what we do matters. For Christ has not yet brought about the end. The troubles, pandemic, and even death will continue to cause us to question whether anything does matter, whether there's anything essential. But God in Jesus Christ, He assures you that you do matter to Him. God sent His Son to claim you, to forgive you, and to bring you into His kingdom. Being claimed by God, there's no need to sit around and wait for Christ's return and for the kingdom to be fully restored. Because the rule and reign of God, His kingdom, as Jesus says in Mark, has come today. It's here now. It's here in you. You who are just called and invited to come along. Nothing fancy. He's not slamming a textbook down to persuade you. He just calls you His own, His creature, calls you His child, His beloved. With a sprinkle of water, a little bit of bread, a little bit of wine, He tells you who you are as God's own. Not because God needs anything from you, but certainly because your neighbor will find you useful. You don't have to be like Timothy and be dragged around by Paul all over the Mediterranean. But if someone sees gifts in you and thinks you can be put to some good use for your neighbor, well, don't hesitate to take up the call. In Christ's name, amen.